Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Oh yeah, it is the moment you have been waiting for.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
Andy's out, Ryan and Brad are in.
Goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
My balanced budget amendment is unique. What it does is it says that Congress cannot raise the ceiling. The states have to vote to raise the debt ceiling. I'm putting us back on a fiscal path of sanity. And then two, I'm returning some of these powers back to the states, which is where it originally was. The federal government would come to the states and say, here's our proposed spending. And with your permission, can you please write a check, right? And the states could go, why are you spending? No, we're not going to write that check, right? I worked with the Goldwater Institute to try to craft something that puts some discretion back in the power of the states.
That is Representative Eric Burleson with a little soundtrack to it. That's the best we could do because it was on a podcast. That is a creative proposal from Representative Eric Burleson, who is on the Annie Fry Show pretty often, and I'm glad that he is. He may not be somebody that you think of as being a really outside-the-box thinker, but he really is. He comes up with solutions. We were just talking to him this week, and in the middle of the interview, he busts out, look, we need to solve healthcare. Here's my plan. I'm like, dang, that was pretty sweet. I love when people do that because so many Congress people of the 438 of them, whatever it is, 435, you really don't ever hear much from them. They kind of go with the flow. And I guess that's okay. You need some people who are going to do that because everybody can't be a leader. But Eric Burleson, I do believe, is a leader and he's a thought leader. And I appreciate finding things like that to talk about with you here on the Annie Fry Show. Of course, it's the Manny Fry Show today because Brad and I and Ethan are taking over on this Friday. And guess what? Since it's me, if you know this show and you know Wiggins America at all, I love talking about balanced budgets. And some of you are like, that is super boring. The rest of you know that it is a national security emergency and you're on the same page as me because it is one of the issues that I can't shut up about, how much debt this country is in and how it is a ticking time bomb that for whatever reason, I guess because we don't pay attention to it enough, we're not dealing with it. So guess what we're going to talk about?
Well, it's because people never see the effects of it.
Well, you see inflation. That's the one time you do see it. But you're right. You don't see the mass effects of like an implosion.
Right. They have to link inflation. They don't link inflation to this.
Right. Right. But that's what it is. That's literally what it is. Just little crash course in inflation. Do you know why a cheeseburger in 1993 cost 50 cents and why it doesn't now? Because we've just printed more money. The demand is about the same. You know, people still eat cheeseburgers at about the same rate as they ever did. Maybe a little bit more. Maybe the supply is not quite keeping up, but not as much to make a cheeseburger go up by more than double. It was probably cheaper than that in 1995. You know, it's probably 25 cents or whatever. I don't remember. But the point is, it would still be that price now if we hadn't printed, what, $30 trillion since then? whatever it is, that's why you have inflation. It's one of the reasons houses go up. There's other reasons too, but it's the reason everything goes up, because we just print more money. That's it. And so eventually that's going to implode. And I got a lot of reasons to talk about that. I might talk about Venezuela and Mamdani here in sometime in this show. That's a surprise to Brad. I didn't bring that one up yet. But in this segment, I have a creative proposal. And that's why I started with Eric Burleson, because he's talking about returning power to the states. He goes in a little bit more detail. But I've been working on a plan, too, that I want to propose to you. And I'm not under some grand illusion that the president of the United States is going to hear the segment and go, wow, that's a great plan. Let's go do that.
But you never know.
But hey, I'm on the radio, so you know it's a step in the right direction.
We know people who are adjacent to him.
Hey, why not? So,
Mr. President, you have to hear this.
So I'm not saying that this is the way Annie Fry would necessarily start the show, but it is the way that we're going to start it today, by giving you my 3 to 4 point plan to balance the budget of the United States. And what I want is, I want you to listen to this, and then we're going to open the phones up in the next segment. I want you, and Brad, you too, I want you to listen to my plan, because you haven't heard it yet either, and poke holes in it. Like, find ways that you think that this could fail.
Okay.
And if you find a glaring, fatal flaw in it, fine. But this is how we've come up with better stuff.
But you start with, I have an idea.
Here's the idea. And I'm just going to present it to you here, and I want you to basically destroy it. And if you can't destroy it, then maybe it stands. Maybe it actually has some merit to it. So this is to balance the budget. Step one is to bail out all state debt. Now, if you're like, that's a terrible way to balance the budget. All states, well, not all, but most states in the United States have their own debt. Federal government obviously has the most, but states have their individual amounts of debt. And I think there are some states that actually do have a balanced budget and are not in debt, because they're two different things.
Yeah.
But for the most part, most states are carrying some debt. So I looked it up to find out how much debt are all of the United States, all 50 states collectively carrying. And it's just under $3 trillion. Now, that's a lot of money. But when you consider how much we spend every year, which is about $7 trillion, it's not that much to say, okay, wipe the slate clean. Now, you're probably asking, Brad, and anybody listening, why would you do that? Why would that be your first step to balance the federal budget?
Wipe the slate clean, meaning...
All states would have no debt. You would, and there's a deal here coming, so keep that in mind. That if you're a state, and you're talking about with Eric Burleson there saying states take control back, if you're a state that wants to get on board with this, your debt would be wiped clean by the federal government. So there's a give and take here. That's the give. We will give you whatever you need to wipe away your debt.
So the federal government gives state monies to wipe away their debt?
Yes.
Okay.
So the federal government's saying to states, we will wipe away your debt.
We'll pay your bills.
In exchange for your vote on a constitutional convention for a balanced budget amendment, which would state that you cannot spend more at the federal government level. Keep in mind, states could still do whatever they want. But at the federal government level, a balanced budget amendment would state you cannot spend more in a given year than you take in. So we would never add any more to the debt. We would still have debt, but you would instantly balance the budget every year by making that a constitutional requirement through a convention of states. Now, if you don't know what a convention of states is, a lot of you are like, Ryan, I don't need to know this. Well, I know that, but some of you probably don't know what a convention of states is. This is part of the Constitution that's really rarely, if ever, used. I can't remember. I know it's not been used.
It's one of the ways to amend the Constitution.
Yeah. And I don't know the history well enough to know that it's ever actually been used. It's there. It's very well spelled out in how to do it. But that's not the way that amendments usually happen in the Constitution. In fact, in anybody listening's lifetime, I don't think that there's been an amendment to the Constitution. What was the last one? Maybe the 60s? So that would be some people's lifetimes, of course.
So you could go to conventionofstates.com.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm getting into the history of it for no reason, because that doesn't have anything to do with it. But a convention of states doesn't happen very often. The way that it happens is you need a certain number of states to come together and call Congress to the floor and say, we want to pass a new amendment to the Constitution. Congress itself is not going to do this, especially with the filibuster. So that's a different issue that we're talking about right now. But enough states could get together and pass a balanced budget amendment to make it happen. And guess what? A bunch of states have already done this. In fact, it's almost 20 states, as I look at it right now, 19 states have already passed their legislation that says we want to call a convention. Now, you can't actually call it until you get to 34 states, but 19 have already done it. That's the ones you would think of. It's your red states mostly. You got Arizona in there. That's a swing state. You got Wisconsin in there, and that's a swing state. But it's mostly red states that have called for this. And this is in the last, basically the Trump era. So not very many before that. 2014 and on, basically. So you got 19 states. You need more. Well, North Carolina, Kansas, South Dakota, and Wyoming have already worked legislation up to do this. So they look like they're in the process of doing it. So that gets you up to 23. Then you count off a few other states that would definitely get on board with it before my plan. Like, this is all actually happening right now without us saying, hey, we'll bail you out. Montana, Idaho, Nevada, Iowa, Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Some of those are swing states, of course, but some of those would be slam dunks like Iowa, Idaho, Montana. They definitely get on board. That gets you to 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. That gets you to 30 right there. Now, though, not all of those are guarantees either, but you know, let's say that we can get to 30 just on our own because that's we're actually there already. That doesn't include New Hampshire. That doesn't include Minnesota. That doesn't include New Mexico. These are states that maybe you could convince, but are kind of on the border. Basically, if you're at 30 or close to it, you would need to get four more states on board to call the convention. That's not that many. That's not a lot. And if you came up with this four grand states. Bargain and said, hey, we'll bail out your debt if you give us a vote for a constitutional amendment on a budget proposal, on a balanced budget, would you get 34 states to do it? I think you could. So let's say that you could do that. What's the next step? Well, then you take it to the Constitutional Convention, and unfortunately, you have to have 34 to call it, but you have to have 38 to pass it. So you do have to get some more states on board. And if you're sitting there thinking about this, as I've asked you to do you think this is possible? One of the critiques that you might come up with is, well, but getting to 38 is going to be tough. If you need states like California and Illinois to come on board, clearly the governors of those states, Kathy Hochul in New York, they hate Donald Trump. So if Donald Trump is attached to this in any way, which he would have to be because you have to have the megaphone to do it.
Right.
If he's the one doing it, they're just a no, no matter what. Granted, I understand that, but that's just three states. What if you could get Michigan? What if you could get Virginia? I don't know. They just moved leftward. What if you get Washington or Oregon? Could you get New Mexico? I mean, these are states that, man, it seems like you could maybe negotiate with them to get out of debt. And I also looked up which states had the worst debt. Care to take a guess at that? The three states with the absolute most debt in the United States.
I'm going Illinois, California, and New York.
That is 100% correct. Those three have the most debt. So they have the most to gain from a proposal
like
this.
And not in that order.
Not in that
order. I would say California, New York, then Illinois.
You are correct. Those are the top three. And it's mostly blue states that have the worst debt, which means that they are the worst managed financially. Are we offering them a bailout? Yeah. Do they deserve it? No. But to get a balanced budget, I'm willing to make that compromise. Are you? It's the question we're asking you. Now, before you get to the last criticism here and say, yeah, but then you're balancing the budget, but you're not getting out of debt. You're not getting out of debt at all. In fact, you'd actually add to it to get there. Yes, we would. You'd add it, and you'd probably get up to a little over $40 trillion. We're at 38 right now. So that sucks. It sucks that you'd have to add that, and maybe it would even add a little bit of inflation. And then people go, shoot, man, I'm now really not on board if you're going to have more inflation over the next few years just to get to this point. But your debt would never rise from that point on. You'd be at $40 trillion forever. You'd never be able to go higher than that because you'd kind of draft that into the legislation that you have to stop it where you're at.
So your debt doesn't increase at $40 trillion. $40 trillion is the cap.
That's the cap, and that's the permanent cap, which means as you grow as a nation, your GDP would grow, you'd grow your way out of this. And the weird thing is, some of what I'm saying right now was actually part of a Paul Ryan plan back in the Romney era. I know. But those guys did understand finances, and they understood how to do these things. At least they were talking about it. We're not even talking about it anymore. It's part of the reason I'm saying it right now. So let's say, again, I'm trying to head off any criticisms of the plan. Let's say that you go, yeah, okay, that's great, Ryan, but are voters really that concerned with this? Well, no, they're not. How do you get them concerned with this? How do you get them on board? Well, first, you call this act the Stop Inflation Act, because ultimately that's what it would do.
Okay.
If you can't print more money, in the short term, you would print a little bit more. Long term, you couldn't print anymore. You'd stop inflation. You really would. That would be it. So you can call it the Stop Inflation Act, or you could call it the Stop Prices Rising Act. That's what Trump likes to do, is really just put it in language you get.
It's possible.
But either way, you call it that, and you offer this to voters. This is the fourth point in my 4 points. You offer voters, as part of the legislation, that from now on, there is no more income tax over $100,000. And you know what? That doesn't really make a dent in anything. It's about $280 billion a year that the government collects from income taxes under $100,000, which means over 75% of all income taxes come from people who make more than $100,000.
So the fourth point is, say this one more time.
Remove income taxes for everybody making under $100,000.
Okay.
Now you got some real incentive for people.
People, yeah.
Put some money in your pocket permanently, and to weather this immediate little inflation that you will have from taking the state's budgets down to zero from the federal government.
Okay.
That's my 4 points. Now, hopefully that's not like too in-depth to listen to on the radio. It's probably easier to like see it on a chart or something, but we got the radio, so that's what I'm doing. Brad is pointing at me.
I have some questions.
He's got some questions. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop right here. We're going to open the phones up. And I want you to call in and say, here's why I don't think that will work. It's fine if you want to call in and say why you do think it would work. I just figured it'd be more interesting if we kind of debated it. So if you want to call in and say, Ryan, I see a flaw in your plan, this is the time to do it. 314-241-9797. I really have no idea. Maybe we don't get any calls on this and we just debate it amongst ourselves. I have no idea. I'm just saying it's open if you want to. 314-241-9797. We'll take a short break and be right back with you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, having a little fun here, coming up with a creative way to balance the budget in America, and that's actually the YouTube live chat poll today if you're on our stream. Will America ever have a balanced budget again, yes or no? I desperately hope the answer is, of course, yes, but I mean, we have a Republican Congress right now. They're not balancing the budget. They're trying to get the government back open, but at levels that still add to the debt. So I'm asking you about this four-point plan, and I'll recap it just again really quick here. Bail out all the states' debt in exchange for their vote on a constitutional convention to vote for a balanced budget amendment. As a part of that, you would keep all the debt levels at the same level that you're at right now and just grow your way out, because you'd always have it capped. And then number four is you would remove income tax for anybody making under $100,000. So let's go first.
Hey, real quick. So you had asked when the last time there was a constitutional convention of states, and that was Rhode Island, 1986. But the last time a constitutional convention of states was held to propose amendments to the U.S. Constitution was 1787, which resulted in the creation of the Constitution that we have today.
That's the last time they used it?
That's the last time they used it to amend the Constitution.
But it's been called since then.
Yeah.
But that's the last. Yeah. But nothing happened.
It is not used. And they did that because the Articles of Confederation were doo-doo and they needed to get rid of them. So they amended it and basically changed the whole government to the current Constitution.
Well, there's the history. What about this plan? Jenna is on the phone. Jenna, do you see any fatal flaws with what I'm proposing?
No, not at all. But I would just add that you work something in there about reducing the debt and bring that ceiling down over time. And I think that President Trump has already begun that with the tariffs. And maybe there's other people like yourself who are smart who can see the bigger picture and work other things in there to reducing the debt, just like we would do in our own personal finances. You know, you cap the spending and then you work on reducing the debt. It's very simple and plain. And I love your plan. I told the guy before you I would make a donation to fly you to Washington to present it to President Trump, like right now.
All right, Jen, I think what we're going to do is we're going to
before the midterms.
We're going to put you on hold and then we're going to get your PayPal if that's cool. Because I would love a vacation.
I don't have PayPal, sorry.
Well, this whole plan's coming apart, isn't it?
That's how convinced I am about how you presented it. It was perfect. It's well thought out. And I think it's a go. I would say if President Trump heard this, he would be like, okay, come here. Let's work on this.
Well, thank you. We will make that into a video and share it with everybody in the world, Jenna.
That sounds fantastic. Good. Thank you for putting it out there.
All right. Thank you, Jenna, for your call. I appreciate that. And the criticism there being that you still do have to get out of debt eventually.
Yeah.
I understand that. That's something, though, that I'm willing to sort of compromise on, because you're not going to get Congress to sign. You're not going to get Congress to sign on this easily anyway. But if you tell them we're also going to reduce the amount that you can spend immediately, I just don't think that you're going to get them on board. So, yes, what you're saying, Jenna, is completely correct. You do have to get out of debt eventually. I'm just willing to compromise and say, let's just cap it and stop adding to it. And that's where I mentioned Paul Ryan. That's actually part of his plan back in 2010 or whatever that was when he was Speaker. He said, if we can cap the debt at its current level,
stop the train,
you can actually grow your way out of it. Eventually, I mean, eventually you're still going to have debt, but you could grow your way out of that debt being a huge problem.
So the debt is growing faster than the GDP.
Correct.
And so think of it as a race. This is what Ryan's saying. So if you're having trouble conceptualizing this, Ryan is saying stop the train that's outrunning the GDP, and eventually that GDP will catch up to it.
That is correct.
Now, so, I had a question.
Real quick, before we get to your question, Brad, 314-241-9797 if you want to call.
So I had a question, too, and I got a text message from a loyal listener, Balls. He texted me the same question. He said, basically, what do you do with the payments on $40 trillion worth of debt? So you're saying that the cap would be $40 trillion. That's where you would be at if you pulled in all the state's debts. And the idea of pulling in the state's debts is to convince them to get on board with the Constitutional Convention so we could do that, so that we could pass a balanced budget amendment.
Yeah. So the question is, what do you do with the debt?
Yeah, is that calculated into how, like, the amount of interest and the payments on that? To lock it in at $40 trillion, because it is my understanding that whenever you pay that debt off at $40 trillion, that's where your debt is going to end up with everything else the same.
So the spending levels. I'm trying to make sure I'm getting what your question is. So you're saying, yes, we lock it in at $40
trillion. So, yeah.
So what do we do with the 40?
Under your plan, we lock it in at $40 trillion. That's where the debt will sit as soon as because we've paid
forever.
That's because we've paid the states.
Yes.
Like, so we pay the states, boom, our debt is $40
trillion. Okay.
What do we do with the spending levels of everything else? Because that increases the amount that we're spending anyway.
I'm not sure I follow.
So like our budget for the military, our budget for Social Security, our budget for the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
our budget for.
Oh, so they're still, the costs are still going up,
right?
But our debt isn't.
Our debt doesn't go up, but we've increased the portion of the pie because you only have $40 trillion. You know, you can't increase it, so everything has to be balanced there. What gets the cut whenever you start factoring in that interest rate on $40 trillion?
Okay, I think that you're getting into semantics that I am willing to get into, but that's stuff that you would have to deal with once you got it in, because then you're getting into individual cuts here and there,
yeah.
Which is kind of the point.
I'm not necessarily asking for semantics, but I'm wondering how we can increase our debt level to $40 trillion and lock our budget in and not increase that if we're not, because you're
still
saying
paying the interest. I think I follow you.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to have to make cuts at something.
I think I follow you. I'm almost going to have to like digest your question because you'd have to get into a lot of numbers.
Right.
And I'm trying to keep this broad, at least for the moment.
I guess what I'm wondering is there enough of the pie left whenever you have interest payments and payments on $40 trillion of debt to pay for anything else without increasing the
answer to your question is yes. Jeff is on the phone. Jeff, do you agree? Do you find any flaws with the plan?
No, I agree with the plan because I think the bipartisan way of going with parties is not going to work out. So this is a great idea. My concern is the states that you're bailing out, Illinois, California, New York, will end up going back into debt again. Once they get bailed out, they're not going to change their ways, and they'll go back in debt, and then they'll look for more money.
Well, Jeff, that's a huge concern, and it is very true. That is a flaw of the plan. The problem is that I don't know that Illinois, California, and New York would actually get on board with it, because you could actually pass it without those states.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they did, though, and they actually did get their debt wiped away, and you rewarded the bad behavior, so to speak. Yeah, you're right. They could just go right back into debt if they wanted to, but then it's on them, and at least your federal government isn't going to implode. You'd have to let states kind of deal with it.
Yeah, I would think that part of the agreement would have to include that no more bailouts. You don't get anything. This is your last bailout. This is it. You're on your own.
Maybe
okay,
so.
Well,
yeah.
They may not believe it, but I thank you. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, Jeff, appreciate the call. Sherry, we're going to go to you in St. Charles. What do you think of this plan?
I think it's horrible. You're rewarding the child that is out of control and can't contain themselves, for one thing. And then you're punishing people who've worked their entire lives to hit that $100,000 mark, and now they're going to be paying all the taxes.
Well, they still would benefit from it, too. So it's anything under $100,000 you wouldn't pay taxes on.
Well, what about everybody over? Because, you know, I'm at the age where we're in that we'll be fronting the whole bill, and it's not fair.
Well, Sherry, let me explain this just a little bit better, just in case. And you can completely disagree, but let me just make it clear what I'm saying. So you still would benefit because anything that you paid on $100,000 or less would still be tax-free to you. So it's not as if you made $100,000 and then you got to pay your full taxes. You'd still be just paying on $1,000 at that point. So you'd still benefit from paying less in income taxes, which would benefit everybody, right?
Well, I don't know. I still am stuck on the states that didn't mind their own business and keep within their budget. We're just letting them go free when all the states that work so hard to maintain budgets, you know, what is the reward for them? I mean, it isn't right. Sorry.
That's okay, Sherry. I really appreciate that. And it's very true. You are rewarding bad behavior here by saying, okay, let's make a deal. The only reason I'm even considering this, because I'm saying, look, and I live in Illinois, look, let them fry, you know, like if you made your bed, you got to sleep in it. But I'm also trying to find a solution to get us to where we actually could balance the budget. And without sort of blue states or Democrats, we'll never do it.
Yeah.
So we have to have some compromise somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, to her point, I think that there has to be some sort of cutoff from federal monies to these states.
That has to be baked into the legislation.
Yes.
Yes, we'll do it once. We'll never do it again.
No more dollars anymore from the federal government.
I mean,
you gotta exist on your own budget.
That's a fair compromise. But I think it's a good topic. And clearly you do too. You're calling in. Please continue to. I think what we're going to do is Mike and another couple callers calling in right now. We're going to take a short break. If you can stay, I understand you have a life, but if you can stay, we'll take you right after this short break. And a lot of you checking in on the stream too. We'll get to that here in just a second. This is the Manny Fry Show. And we're talking about balancing the budget today. It's the YouTube live chat poll. We'll be right back. Talking about trying to come up with creative solutions to balance the budget. Once again, if you just are tuning in, my plan was, and this is just a creative proposal, is to, one, bail out all state debt in exchange for those states voting for a constitutional amendment, constitutional convention amendment to balance the budget. Now, I get, yeah, we're kind of giving something away there that they don't deserve, but you got to compromise to get a balanced budget. And in my opinion, that's the greatest national security threat facing our country, is the fact that we're $38 trillion in debt. So that's the basics of it. A couple people I want to highlight who are chiming in online say, Quick Rick says, it was a good idea, Ryan, until you mentioned Trump's name. Yeah, I get it. It's true. Like, that may actually kill it before it gets to the floor. But that's why you offer the bait of, hey, but we'll bail out your debt. You have to give something to get something in return. Ender says, Ryan, I see a flaw in your plan. It's America first and would benefit the country. Thank you, Ender. People calling in. Let's go to Mike. I said we'd get to you. Mike, what do you think about this plan? Thanks for holding.
Good afternoon, Ryan and Brad, the Manny Fry Show.
The Manny Fry Show.
From the beginning.
Thanks. What do you think?
I really like your idea. I really do. I'm on board with it, but I have 2 points. The first being is, I don't think it's going to work long term, for the simple fact is this country's never went more than 10 years without a conflict and never more than 20 years without a major conflict. So that is usually where the bulk of debt is incurred. So we would not be in a position to defer that. We would have to take it on. And I'm not sure even where that money would come from, even at the debt we're in right now.
Yeah.
Second of all, I think to improve your plan, I think instead of completely taking the money that was collected in taxes from those making $100,000 and less, that you take 7% of that and you turn that into a mandatory retirement fund, thus being able to get rid of Social Security.
Wow. Ooh. All right. Hey, you know what, Mike? The reason that we're in so much debt is primarily two things. It's Social Security and it's health care. And so you do have to somehow fix those things. And anytime you say that, people go, you're not going to take it away, are you? No, you're not. You have to do things like you're talking about, come up with creative proposals. So yes. I appreciate that.
I'm here to help.
Well, cool. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the call. Frankie is on the line. Darren, sorry we didn't get to you in time. You had to go. But Frankie, what do you think of this plan?
Hi, Brian. Yeah, I think it's a fantastic plan. But I kind of wanted a couple, you know, and the lady a moment ago that called in that said it was like rewarding the bad child and, you know, they would continue to run their states into the ground. She has a point about that. However, in response to that, they can no longer get money from the federal government anymore. So if they choose to run their state into the ground again, they're going to lose their state. People are going to leave and they're going to have more problems. So they're either going to recognize that and address it and get somebody, vote somebody in that can actually balance the state's budget, or they're going to lose people, and that's going to create a bigger problem.
You know what?
And they're not going to have the control that they had.
Frankie, it's a really good point, and you're the second person who's brought that up. What happens after you bail out their debt? Do states just go back to spending a lot? And then if you have a balanced budget, do future Democrat presidents say, okay, well, then here's what we're going to do. California, you go do all this stuff, and then we'll just give you all the money to do it. So you'd have to kind of head that off before it happened. It's a good point.
Right, exactly. But if it's, you know, addressed up front, then you find ways to approach it and correct.
Yeah. Well, Frankie, I appreciate the call. And again, everybody who's calling in, I think that I'm encouraged, because what I'm finding is there are little things that would have to be tweaked about it, but nobody's found that Achilles heel about it yet.
Yeah.
But you mentioned it too, and Mike did too.
Mike said it's war. So outside of the baked in things, which you described as healthcare and Social Security, that are the big drivers of debt, the largest drivers of debt are the incidental things, the COVIDs, the wars, the unforeseen things, which war is almost foreseen at this point. You know it's going to happen again at some point. What do we do to kind of manage that?
So I'm glad you're asking that, because I did think about that before, because I've been thinking about this plan for like 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of you know, churning it over and finding where, okay, where would it fall apart? And that is one area that I've thought, well, what if there's war? You have to be able to fight a war to protect your country's national security. And if it goes beyond the defense budget, well, then what do you do with it?
Yeah.
So my answer to that would be, and you'd have to creatively say this, that if, because if you just said, well, if you declare a national emergency, then you could overspend. Well, guess what would happen? They just constantly declare national emergencies.
Right.
We saw that during COVID.
Right.
That's what people constantly did. So the way that you'd have to say it is, if you declare war, if Congress declares war, then that's the only way that you can draw in higher debt cap spending. But you have to declare war.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be like, oh, I got to go fight terrorism. You have to get Congress and the White House on board with a vote to formally declare war like we have many times in the past, even though war is very different now. You still have to do that, and then you could officially raise that debt cap.
I really like that. And I also would propose a modification to your plan. How many states did you say?
You need 34 to call the convention, 38 to pass the amendment.
Okay, and how many have already called it?
19 have called it. 4 more are calling it. They're in the process of doing it. And then there's about a dozen or more that are something in the works somewhere.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it'll pass.
I wonder if, rather than saying all states, you only offer the debt forgiveness to the first 38 states that get on board with the plan.
Oh, that's fine with me. I'm completely fine with that.
Know.
Yeah.
And then, like our callers have been saying, you bake into the cake.
Yeah.
We're not giving anybody else any more money. So if you have debt and you don't get on board with this fast
you're
enough,
done.
You still don't get any money, and it's up to you to figure out how to pay your debt. And if you get on board with this and you accrue more debt after this is paid off and zeroed you out, you're still on your own.
Yes. So, yeah, hey, California, you are $500 billion in debt just in your state. If you don't get on board with this, you will not get that forgiven, but New Mexico will.
Right.
Or whatever.
If you're not one of the 38 needed,
then
the first 38 yeses get it. Everybody else, you're late to the party. Sorry,
you're gone. Here's the reason I think this could work, because the problem is you do need a couple of like dyed-in-the-wool blue states to do this. You need your random Minnesota, mm-hmm. New Mexico, maybe Washington. You know, there's a couple states like that that you would need. So you got to get them on board. Are they so anti-Trump that they would just say no? That's, to me, the flaw in it, that if Trump is leading it and his name is on it.
Some of them are.
They might just say no, but it doesn't have to be all of them.
But I think the some that are would be the largest carriers of the debt. I think it would be your Californias, your New Yorks, and your Illinois, which if you say the first 38 and then everybody else is out of luck and they're still like, Trump, nothing, blah, blah, blah. Well, we don't have to take on their debt, which makes and fast forwards this plan.
I see. This is why I think this is such an interesting proposal, because it is possible. And in fact, the wheels are already in motion to make it possible. You just got to add that carrot on the stick to get it over the line, to get it over the hump, to get it there. And we're right there. That's kind of where the rub lies for my plan. So thank you for indulging that. I really think we should just send this to President Trump. Brad's going to make a video. We send the thing. We get the thing started. Let's talk to New Mexico.
Clip.
Iowa's on board. Ohio, Pennsylvania, you're on board. We're doing this thing. Here we go. All right, short break. Thank you for listening to this hour. We're going to do Wiggins America. It's the Be or Not the Be, a tradition on Fridays, but Ethan will be leading that up next here on The Annie Fry Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bee or Not the Bee.
Still digging through a lot of comments here, and I do want to highlight one that is not quite on the topic we were. Info Dude says, totally off topic, it appears the McRib is back.
That is Ryan news if I've ever heard it. This is a day for you to be hosting Wiggins America, because it's like this is, you could make a whole segment out of that.
I heard
probably.
That the McRib availability is completely based on pork prices.
I've never had a McRib.
Well, we're going to open up the phones and ask if the McRib is totally based on pork prices or if you think that's a myth.
Okay.
314-241-9797.
Don't call in. I blocked the phone lines.
Do call in. Make him unblock the phones. I'm hosting today.
We're hosting today.
We're it hosting is, today.
It is indeed the Manny Fry Show.
All right,
and
be
this
or not the bee.
Is the bee or not the bee where... You out there, as well as Ryan and Brad, will have to decide if these stories are real or if they are satire from the Babylon Bee. So we will go ahead and get started here. Our first one, Zoran Mamdani, horrified to discover he now has a job.
Ah, sounds real, but I'm going to go B.
I'm going to say it's the B.
It is indeed the B. In the wake of his overwhelming election win that signaled a dramatic political shift in the United States, New York City Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani was reportedly horrified to wake up this morning and discover that he now had a job. The Ugandan-born socialist won a landslide victory on Tuesday over former Governor Andrew Cuomo, Republican Curtis Sliwa, and common sense only to come to the stunning realization that he would now have to work. I didn't think this through, Mamdani reportedly told one of the aides. I was all excited about the campaign and wanted to win, but I got so caught up in the competition that I didn't stop to think that I would end up, you know, having a job. This is terrible.
Is he actually from Uganda?
Uganda born. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know that I knew that.
Yeah.
I thought he was Middle Eastern. Uganda is Africa.
No.
Oh,
well, maybe his families are and he was born there.
Huh.
But
I mean, it's the B, and a lot of times when they drop those facts, those are real things in there.
I'm pretty sure that's real. He was back there not that long ago for a wedding or something.
It's for real, real. I've heard this multiple times. Did you guys hear about the bar at his celebration? He had a cash bar at his victory celebration.
You didn't get free drinks.
Did you see? Did you see his first like celebratory video that he had after, basically saying like, "Hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start setting up all this." It's like a 90-second video.
Was it
video.
With Mehdi Hasan or
it was just him?
It was just,
he was standing on the rooftop of some building in NYC, and he's talking about some of the things they're going to be doing, the people they're going to be bringing on staff, and at the very end, he goes, "It's like the last 15 seconds of the video." He goes, "Also, remember when we told you that you didn't need to send in any more money? Well, you can start sending that money again." And again, because it's going to cost money for us to bring all these people on staff. So it's just funny.
Wait a minute. He's asking for campaign contributions at
yes,
the end
he's
of it?
Asking for more money and more donations.
He told people to
after
stop
winning.
Giving?
Guys, we
he,
tried
at some
to
point,
tell
I guess he did.
We tried to tell you this guy is a fraud and a charlatan, and you didn't believe us because he's got a pretty smile.
This might be the only thing I've ever agreed with him on. He's trying to bring staff on that are privately funded instead of through the government?
That's what it seemed like to me in the video, or at least that
more
they're
power
gonna
to him.
They're gonna need. Also, right. Those donations, yeah, send those in now because we're gonna need more money to bring on staff and blah blah blah. Basically, what he said. Like,
you have the government purse now. I don't know if you understand your position there, sir.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that is what I. That's how I took it.
Supporters okay. Like, what happened to tax the rich?
All right, next story here. New York Democrats run missing person in local election.
That's real.
It's got to be real.
It is indeed real.
Democrats ran a missing person?
They ran a missing person. This is according to the AP. New York Democrats ran, his name is Petros Kromidas, was running for the Nassau County Legislature. Apparently went for a swim a while back. It doesn't give a specific date when competing or training in a triathlon, and he never came back. Keys closed. Everything was left out on the sands of Long Beach.
A triathlon, and never
was training for a triathlon.
Oh,
so he needed more training.
So he went for a swim.
As the months passed, local Democrats attempted to field a replacement to run for the seat in the Nassau County Legislature, but they weren't able to do so.
Oh my gosh! Does it say the guy's name? I'm gonna look up and see if he won.
Yes, his name is Petros Petros Chromidas. Chromidas.
Okay, I'll look it up while you do the next
one. Okay, all right, sounds good. Our next story, email does not find man well.
Wait, say it again?
Email does not find man well.
This is the B.
I hope Hold this on, email,
I don't even know what's happening.
I hope this email finds you well.
Email does not find man well.
Oh, does not find a man well. Okay.
It's the B.
Okay.
Sad reports indicated that a work email sent to a local man on Friday morning did not, in fact, find him well. Sources close to the situation said that Jason McKenzie, a data engineer, received the email shortly after arriving for work on Friday, and though the sender explicitly stated that it was their sincere hope that the message would find him well, it did not. Jason said, reading the email, No, I am not well. You do not find me well. You find me in pain and agony. You find me desolate and beseeched. I am not well.
That's funny. That's a good one. By the way, update on the story. I found it. The guy who is missing, who ran for Nassau County something, did not win. And his mom says, my PD lives on in all our hearts, though.
Oh, no.
Even though he didn't win.
It's really sad, actually.
It's very sad.
I mean, in all likelihood, he drowned, right?
So, I mean, that's what it seems like. He's a Democrat, and the Republican won in Baldwin, New York, in Nassau County. There you go.
I mean, that has to be, I mean, that said Long Island, so, I mean, that's got to be, you know, near the city, right? Yeah?
I don't know. I don't know where Nassau, I've heard of Nassau.
No, you've heard of Nassau in the Bahamas.
Why don't you? That's true, actually. That you're right. I was thinking of that. I was going to say, I'll look up where Nassau, New York is while you do the next story, but I don't even think I need to.
Okay, let's rapid fire a couple more here. American man films himself walking through Indian villages poop throwing festival.
Oh, I saw this. That's real.
Oh, no. Is it real?
It is indeed real.
No.
There's just the fact that there's a poop throwing festival is what's weird.
It is a local Diwali a tradition celebrated by Hindus in the village of Gumatapura in the Indian state of Karnataka called Gorhaba. And the festival, it is manure from cows that is considered sacred in Hinduism to purify people.
But they just throw it at each other.
And they just throw it at
each
other.
So the news isn't that the festival exists, because that's existed for a long time. The news is that some guy from America or the West went through with the cameras like, look at this. And now we all know about it.
Now we all know about it.
Okay.
Aren't you glad you're Christian? For multiple reasons. Okay, let's go ahead and do one final one. 5650?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Unpaid air traffic controller now just deliberately sending all planes to Duluth, to Duluth, Minnesota for laughs.
I think that might be the B.
That sounds like
the B.
By the way, just since we're out of time, Nassau County is on Long Island. So you're right. It is right by New York City.
Okay. Good to know.
Now you know.
All right, Long Island, so.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back with more. We got Sergeant Thomas Becker coming up next on the Annie Fry Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.